Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And Peggy, I believe this is God's answer for your testimony this morning, and because, well, you'll see in a minute. Everybody got it? If you got it, say, I got it. Or are you just looking up here, getting slothful in your scriptures, huh? You got it, all right. We're still old fanaticals. We bring our Bibles to church. Oh, imagine that. Yeah, that's right. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, or that your ministry or your service continues. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So coming back to verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Can you imagine that to God, if God forgot something, it would be unrighteous? I want you to think about that, because what if God forgot that he forgot our sins? We'd be in the stuff, wouldn't we, huh?
Yeah.
God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And that's really important, because when Peggy talked about every time we do something good or we bless others, we don't have to go around and wave a flag and say, I did this or I did that, and looking for the, oh, that was a good job. Oh, boy, you could just get really big padded shoulders from patting your shoulders, you know, for our good things. But, and it's nice when people say thank you and that they show appreciation, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we're to honor, show honor to those whom honor is due. But to for us to go around and boast and brag of the good things that we do, it isn't really necessary to do that, because God is the one who knows the heart in the doing, and there's several kinds of motives involved. Number one, sometimes we do things because we have to. Sometimes we do things that we don't want to. Sometimes we do things to get the praises of men. And sometimes we do it just because it's the right thing to do. So motive is really important. But it says a labor of love, so your heart really has to be in it. And love is the proper reason. We have the love of Christ in our hearts. And sometimes maybe not everybody knows what you do. And maybe you don't get a thank you for what you've done, but others benefit from what you've done. Others benefit from your gifts, your skills, your talents and abilities. But God is the one who sees them all. And he's not going to forget the people that you've sown your lives into. You couldn't live long enough to tell everyone all the things that you've done for others. And God remembers every one of them, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints or his people to serve them and to exercise your gifts and your skills and talents that further the kingdom. But it also represents that you have a living and vibrant relationship with Christ, and that you follow his example. He looked to no one to go around and boast about who he was, and he always made sure that he gave God the glory for whatever he did. He wouldn't take any credit for it. And as we follow him, and as we grow and mature in our faith, we also begin to come to that place in our walk where the Holy Spirit is grooming us and conforming us more into Christ's likeness. And he says, and do minister, meaning even to the present, whatever you're doing to help others is something that we're to continue to do. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. And when Paul wrote this letter, I don't know if it was Paul or not, his writing sounds like Paul. No one has ever really said for certain who wrote the book of Hebrews. But it was good that it's the body of Christ has never been designed to be a one-man program. And that's why sometimes when people visit here, they marvel at so many people participate when we come together. But that's a New Testament church, and that's the way it should function. Every one of you, when you come, have a doctrine, a hymn, a song, a praise report, a testimony, maybe a verse of scripture. You come open in a free environment to be able to share, because that edifies the whole body. So he said, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence as those who are already exercising their gifts in freedom and being a blessing to others, and to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hoping in what? That God has promises in his word for those who do good and sow good into the lives of others. There are promises in the word that God is faithful to keep to you. And it says the same diligence. It means be persistent. Stay with it. Don't get discouraged if somebody doesn't come running up to you and all of a sudden they recognize you and thank you and make a big public spectacle of that. That you be not slothful. Don't get lazy. Don't become what the Bible calls a sluggard. You just go through the motions, but your heart's no longer in it. That's really important, because it has to do with attitude. It has to do with motives of our heart, why we do the good things that we do. The right reason, of course, is because that's what the Holy Spirit has groomed us and taught us to be that way, so that we learn a little more to die to ourselves, die to things that stand in the way, die to our feelings. Feelings are good, but they can get us in a lot of trouble too. And they can keep us from being in the right place at the right time. That you be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So learn to be in it for the long haul, whether others notice or they don't. Be in it and stay with it, who through faith and patience. Patience, remember we talked about patience as being one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the evidences of God's indwelling presence. You don't have to ask God for patience. It's already in you. It's one of Jesus' 9-member ministry team. He's with you all the time. And when troubles come, that's patience's job to take care of it. That's why James said, let patience have her perfect work. When you're going through a hard time, when somebody ruffles your feathers a little bit, maybe just tweaks just a little, you know. Patience also means long suffering. That means you might have to suffer a long time the offenses of others, or the words of others, or maybe being mistreated or taken advantage of. But when the love that you share to others doesn't come from your love, but it comes from the love of God in you, you can just keep giving that out and it won't hurt you. But you have to learn to separate those things from that which is yours and those things which are God's that he's put down on the inside of you. And patience you have already. You might not think you do. And every once in a while we might flip out and stomp a kite like I did once in front of our kids, when they still remember that. They always remember the bad stuff we do, right? Yeah, so that it comes back. And you say, wow, man, just when I didn't think they noticed much of anything, and all of a sudden their words speak wisdom. Don't be deceived. Our kids, man, they're sharp. They pay attention. But anyway, so this is a word of encouragement today also, that God wants you to be encouraged, that whatever good you're doing, whatever difference you're making in the lives of others and seeking to make their lives better and a better quality of life, don't stop. Don't stop living to give. And don't stop giving to live, because we live to give and we give to live. Oh, I am so thankful there's no one else like God. Who could take us from where we were in our life before we knew him to where we are now? And each of us has a testimony of where we were when the Lord found us, because we were the ones that were lost. We didn't find him. He found us. He wasn't lost. We were. And I'm so thankful because he took me from trailer trash to throne room living, and I love it. Oh my, what a wonderful change. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 is where we left off last week, and we had sort of finished about the first part of verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. And we talked about worthiness from two perspectives. One of God's perspective of you, and the other, our perspective of him being the most worthy and the most important object, if you will, or person of our affections for him. And now we continue, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So today I would like to start the next section, unto all pleasing. And unto all pleasing in the beginning for the believer is, it's a new realm. It isn't new to us now, but when a person first gets saved, I don't know why it is that all of us, such perfect people, expect every imperfect person to do everything perfectly and do it perfectly well all the time. Where's grace? Where's mercy? Where's compassion to give people the liberty to grow in their faith until they come to that lofty spiritual place where thou art seated in judgment of others? Hallelujah. Come on now, that's good. You didn't have to pay to hear that today. Unto all pleasing is the growth process. That's why the word unto is written there. It means everything we do as of today is not always pleasing to the Lord. But there is a goal. There is a standard. There is a bar to be reached at the end of the race. And I don't mean a bar on the corner, okay? I'm talking about a standard by which we can measure. Christ is that bar. And if we weigh ourselves against him, we all fall short. But it says, unto all pleasing. Coming to that point where as we grow, the gray zone gets smaller. When you first get saved, darkness is over here, light is over here, and anything goes in between until our minds are renewed to the Word so that we know this pleases God, this does not please God. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to discern those things. But if we don't have the Word to go with the Spirit, then oftentimes in the beginning, we may not hear the Holy Spirit. It's a new voice that we're not used to hearing in the beginning. And he might speak like he's a foreigner to us in the beginning. But as time goes on, as you're given an environment to grow spiritually, you're going to come to that place where the Word and the Spirit are always one, but they're going to be one in your thinking. They're going to be one in your heart so that you come to that place where you do more right things than wrong things. And that's very important. One of the things that I find over the course of time in ministry is the will of the person is involved. And for that, I want to bring you to the book of Philippians, just briefly, because all of us as believers have Jesus to look to as our standard for always doing things that please the Father. He's the only one I know that could ever say that, and we're going to read those words in a little bit. Could be after lunch, I don't know, so you better eat slow. You never know around this place. Okay, Philippians. Where are we going in Philippians? All right. verse 3-7, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In the beginning, you know, it was like our opening scripture and about looking to always, or how nice it is to seek after the praises of people for our well-doing. Like, wow, Lord, I went all day and I didn't sin. And then he says, yeah, until now. To boast and to brag and to come to that place. But let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. How long did it take you to get that? You'd have to raise your hands. But it took me quite a while to begin to realize that life is more than selfies. Okie dokie. Let's move right along. Just bringing it up to today, 2016, you know, the word never has changed, has it? No? But I'll tell you, a world without selfies is, my gosh, I don't know what we would do without them. We would have to write letters again. We would have to do family visitations more often. But the word tells us here that in our new walk with the Lord, this is very foreign to a lot of people, to lowliness of mind. That means that I can't be so spiritually minded that I'm no earthly good. And then there are people who would get into a theological debate with me and say, well, we can't be any earthly good until we are spiritually minded. And to a point, I would have to agree. But there comes a point where if we don't start seeing others as more important than ourselves, we are really going to miss the truth of what it really means to be a believer. If you don't, those of you that are married in the house, if you don't see your husband as more important than you, and husbands, if you don't see your wife as more important than you, then how can you love one another and not hold anything back? You see, this love doesn't play favorites. We talked about that in the love chapter. Lowliness of mind is such a place to grow to that it takes you beyond the faults of others to overlook them and not criticize them and hold them. It's about realizing that there's one inside of you that loves them in spite of, in our eyes, all the things that are wrong. Some of us should have been in the logging business. You remember Jesus' teaching about that, just to refresh your memories. The person who is so worried about a speck in somebody else's eye, but he can't see clearly because he's got a log in his own, kind of deal. Okay, so unto all pleasing, that's a big one with God. It really is, because as we grow and we mature, we begin to see people the way he sees them. And this is talking about Jesus now, okay? Because you're going to see that in a couple verses. Jesus came and he treated everyone as though they were better than himself. And he didn't like it when people bowed down. It made him uncomfortable. And he said he didn't come to be served, he came to serve. Now, just think that Jesus was God in an earth suit. And if it was in his heart to come and serve, how much more should that be in our hearts? That be part of our new life too, that our life is to serve one another. Look for ways to bless one another in our marriages, our families, our relationships with our brothers and sisters, our relationships at work, in our community. Look for ways to be a blessing to others first, because what's going to happen to you? But Lord, what about me? What about me? Well, if you're looking to bless others, there's going to be others looking for a way to bless you. So it comes back to you. And always remember, we reap what we sow. If we miss a line and we mistreat one another, guess how you're going to be treated? And then you're going to wonder why. Well, you don't have to wonder why. It's a spiritual law, and it even works for the unsaved. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. So we start learning this stuff as new believers. And hopefully, if we'll be diligent and if we'll be faithful and we see the end of our labors, we're going to see that it's all worth it. The day will come when suddenly we're going to see the value in these words. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, putting the needs and concerns of others before ourselves. And I know that being a man, that wasn't always the case. And so I can only speak for me. I can't speak for anyone else. But it didn't take me long to start realizing that when Jesus moved in and he sat as Lord of my life and Lord of my heart, I had to kick me off the throne. And if you want to walk in any measure of victory in your life, you're going to have to kick you off the throne as well. It's true, we're seated at his right hand spiritually, but the fact of the matter is we're here in the here and now, and we have to learn to live and walk this out today. And this is a great place to start. I didn't even know where I was going to start this. It's not even part of my notes that I have written. This is an outline that I always make an outline, but I never like to read a sermon. I don't have any room for spontaneity of the Spirit. If he shows us something, I want to share that because I want you to have it as quick as what I see. But every man on the things of others, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, this mindset, how we treat others starts in our mind. It starts with thoughts. How we live starts in our thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And then he goes on to say, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Wow, that's really hard. Don't you like to talk about you? No, not anymore. But was there a time? You see, if you can say yes to both of those, that shows your growth. That shows your relationship with Christ is in the right place. But if your priorities are still looking to be and make your own reputation. Actually, we don't have to worry about our reputations. They follow us. We all leave footprints in life, don't we? And sometimes people don't want to realize that the footprints we left aren't going to be quickly washed under the sand at the beach. We set things in motion that have to be played out. They just naturally will. They take time to work out. But reputations can change for the better. And as we grow in our faith, as we learn what the Lord really wants in our lives, it really does become easier. Because once you're dead to yourself, you don't need to keep resurrecting. See, that's the key. Paul always talked about learning to crucify. Consider our flesh as dead. And so that the new life in Christ can be that which is expressed through us. And we have to die to stuff. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. That's what God did. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine how God could boast? Wow, dude, did you see that new star you just discovered? Oh my, you silly boy. I made that star. There was nothing. And my spirit created it. But But he doesn't boast and brag. And do you know, even the Holy Spirit will always glorify Christ. He will never glorify himself. And we are Spirit-filled people, right? So as we grow, we learn to be more in tune with His Spirit within us, so that we also, we don't have to spend our lives, like I said, life without selfies would be a lonely place in today's society. But we don't have to worry about that as believers. Do you know where your name is written? Hopefully it's not in tomorrow's newspaper on the front page, you know, unless it's a good story. But our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a reputation with Christ. Our names are written where it counts. And do you know that when Christ hung on that cross, he had you in his heart? In Isaiah, he says our names are engraved in his palms. When those nails went through his palms, your name was engraved. He identified himself with you and you with him. That's how important. So we don't have to be self-seekers anymore. That only just makes us feel good when others come and praise us and lift us up. And I like that. You like that. I mean, that's the flesh part of us. But as we learn to walk pleasing to the Lord, these are some of the things that have to start changing. We have to start changing the way we think. Joyce Myers calls it stinking thinking. Y'all heard her say that before? It's really true. Because until we change the way we think, we won't change the way we live. So it has to start and learn to bring our thought processes into or in line with the Word, so that once we start thinking the Word, we start living the Word, we start speaking the Word has a changing power in it. It begins to change all of those things in our lives. We give it liberty. We give it what it was designed to do. And he made himself in the likeness of men, and being, verse 5, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now here's where I want to pause until maybe next week, because I want to introduce the will factor. I want to take you back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus struggled. As you first read it, it sounds like he greatly struggled. In fact, that's where that it was recorded that he was so in his physical being distressed about the agony that was set before him to suffer for each of us. He sweat drops of blood. And medically that has been confirmed, that a person under great stress and duress, that can happen, and with Christ it did happen. And 3 times he pleaded with the Father, Lord, if there be any other way. And 3 times. Then he said, nevertheless, not your will, or not my will, but your will be done. And for believers, that pattern is still the same. There are things that God is going to ask us to give up. And we're going to maybe have a little hissy about that for a few minutes. Maybe for some time. It might tick you off. Maybe you just went out and bought something really expensive and then God told you to give it to somebody else. No way, Jose. You know how many hours I work for that? Do you know what I sacrifice for that? Now you want me to give it to somebody else? Better change your thinking. You see, this is part of learning how to walk pleasing to the Father. And it's about breaking ourselves of walking after our own will and putting our will before His. So with that in mind, isn't that nice? Isn't that a nice appetizer for that nice lunch downstairs? How many are going to hurry up and run through the food line twice before the rest of us get downstairs to see if there's any leftovers? Or are you going to sit there and wait for the last person in the congregation to come downstairs and then we all eat together? Oh, what a concept. Why do I say that? Because I'm usually the last one downstairs. No. That's just how easy you can slip into that thinking. I did it just to mess with you a little bit, because we come together, we have the freedom to mess with each other. And this is a lot of serious stuff, but the atmosphere is absolutely precious for our growth together. So with that, there is an invite that even if you didn't remember, that Mission Sunday also has a nice lunch downstairs. People brought things in so that we can have a nice lunch. Please stay. But in the meantime, if anybody has need of prayer, please come up for prayer.